Thank you for doing that. Let's go into the word of the Lord. As you take your seats, please turn with me to Luke, the first chapter. Luke chapter 1 will be our scripture for today. First chapter of Luke is rich with many spiritual principles that often get missed or ignored when we go through this chapter. Today, for a few moments, I want to go over a couple of the spiritual principles that stick out to me in this chapter, but I would encourage you over the next few days to read the entire first chapter of Luke and allow God to speak to you concerning some things that we find in this text. One of the things that we discover in Luke chapter 1 is that there are two women that are at the center of the Christmas story. There are two very important women that play an important role in the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and in the salvation that we now enjoy so freely. These women are Elizabeth and Mary. It's hard to talk about Mary without talking about Elizabeth, and it's hard to talk about Elizabeth without talking about Mary. The interesting thing about these two women, number one, they are related. Some say they are cousins, but they are both experiencing unexpected pregnancies. Elizabeth's pregnancy is unexpected because she has passed the childbearing age, and she is barren. She's been married a long time, doing all the things that produce babies, but nothing ever was produced. Mary, on the other hand, has an unexpected pregnancy because she's never been with a man. She hasn't done anything to produce a child, and yet she finds herself pregnant. Elizabeth is married. Mary is engaged to be married. For a minute, I want to talk about Elizabeth's husband. Elizabeth has a husband by the name of Zechariah. And Zechariah was a priest, which means he served in the house of the Lord. As a priest, he was to offer sacrifices before God for the people. He represented the people to God and God to the people. He served in the house of the Lord. When we look in verses 6 and 7, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, says Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and religious and regulations, New Living Translation says. Verse 7 says, but they had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive and they were both very old. Notice what the Bible says here. Zacharias was a priest. He and his wife were righteous in God's eyes. Not in the eyes of man, not in their own eyes, but they were righteous in God's eyes. And they lived above reproach. They followed the commandments of the law without blame. Yet they were barren. That leads us to the first spiritual principle. That you can serve in the house of the Lord. You can be righteous in God's eye. You can live holy and do the right thing and still experience barrenness in areas of your life. I want to free somebody because somebody, the devil has told you that the reason you're not able to produce or reproduce is because you're not doing something right. Because you're not holy in God's eyes. Here we see this principle that serving God does not immune you from experiencing barrenness in your life. being holy and righteous doesn't make it sure that everything you do is going to produce fruit. Can I tell you that you can be holy, you can be faithful, you can serve in the house of the Lord and still have problems in your marriage? Dana said that a little too loud. Come on. Huh? Serving the Lord does not immune you from having difficulty with your children or financial problems or relationship problems. Being holy and righteous in God's eye doesn't mean that you won't ever get sick or you won't ever get in trouble. Doesn't mean you won't find yourself in a cycle in your life where nothing you do in that area works. You can still be barren in areas of your life, even though you serve in the house of the Lord, you are righteous in God's eye, and you live holy and do all that you know how to do, and yet you still experience barrenness. Yet Zechariah kept on serving the Lord, even though the prayer that he had prayed wasn't being answered. And here's the key. You have to keep on serving even though your prayer isn't being answered. You got to keep on serving even when your marriage isn't working out right. You have to keep on serving even when you've been dealing with trouble with your kids all week long, no money in the bank, and a doctor's appointment every week. You have to keep on serving. Come on, somebody. Verse 11, we find Zechariah serving in the house of the Lord. In fact, verse 11 says, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Verse 12, Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. So here he is. He's serving in the house of the Lord, and the word of the Lord comes to him. Here is why, again, you have to, the word of the Lord came to him while he was serving in the house of the Lord. I know we live in a generation where people say you don't have to come to church. You can have a relationship with God at your house, and you can study the word at your house and be strong at your house. All that is true. But guess what? There are some words you will not receive unless you're in the house of the Lord. I need somebody to say amen. He was serving the house in the house of the Lord. Oh, God, have you ever been doing what God has called you to do in a desperate need? And then all of a sudden, while you're serving him, he sends you a word. You went to go serve somebody else, but then he sends you a word that blesses you. That's what happened to Zechariah. He was serving in the house of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord said, Zechariah, I got some good news for you today. The Lord has heard your prayer. After your long wait, the Lord has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth is going to give you a son, and you're going to call him John. Verse 18, we see how Zechariah responds. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? I am an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years. Can we pause for a minute? I'm sure that Zechariah and Elizabeth started praying when they were young. I don't know too many older senior citizens that are praying to give birth to children. Huh? So they were praying when they were young. But the answer didn't come until they were too old to do it on themselves. Lord have mercy. The answer didn't come until it was too late for biology to kick in. The biological clock stopped a long time ago. It's too late. And Zechariah says, how can this be? I'm too old and she's too old. Now here we have to be careful. Look at how the angel responds. Verse 19, the angel said, I am Gabriel. Come on. You got to know who's talking to you. He says, I stand in the very presence of God. I'm not one of those angels that are outside in the courtyard. No, I'm right in the presence of God. And it was he who sent me to bring you this good news. Lord have mercy. You got to consider who the messenger is and where they're coming from. He said, listen, this ain't one of those I'm in training to be an angel. No, I am Gabriel. Huh? I spend time in the very presence of God. That's why you got to spend time in the presence of God. He says, and he told me to give you this message. Verse 20 says, but now, since you don't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. This brings us to the second spiritual principle. Unbelief will handicap you. Hear what I'm saying. Unbelief will limit what you're able to experience with God. Note what verse 20 says. It didn't say, I'm not giving you permission to speak. He didn't say you are forbidden to speak. He said you will be unable. That means you're going to want to speak, but you're going to be unable to speak. Hear what I'm saying? You know, there's a difference between telling somebody, put a blindfold over your eyes and saying you're going blind. There's a big difference. One is temporary. Another one is a handicap. This angel says that because you don't believe, you are going to become disabled. That means there are going to be some things that you're going to want to do, but you're not going to be able to do it because you don't believe. This was so profound for Zechariah that when John was born, they asked Zechariah, what shall we name him? The Bible says Zechariah had to write it down. His name is John. Read the rest of Luke chapter 1. He couldn't speak. He had to write it down. Can I tell you that unbelief will cause things to become impossible for you? People who don't believe say, God, it is impossible for me to get through this. People who don't believe say there are certain things that I'm just not going to be able to do, or there's certain things that God is not going to do in my life. People who don't believe have a limited experience with God. But the Bible says all things are possible to who? To them that believe. Lord, have mercy. Unbelief will handicap you. It'll make you stop praying for stuff. It'll make you stop trying stuff. It'll make you stop going after stuff. You'll have a promise and won't receive it. You will become handicapped because even though you received the word from the Lord, you didn't believe it. Can I tell you that belief is the breeding ground for miracles? The Bible tells us that there were certain towns that Jesus went into and he performed no miracles. Why? Wasn't because he wasn't able. Wasn't because he didn't want to. No, he didn't do it because the people didn't believe. The question is not, is God able and is he willing? The question is, do you believe? Come on, somebody. The Bible says, he that cometh unto God must first believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me say this, I'll go on to my next point. The Bible says that Gabriel said to Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. That means Zechariah was praying for a son. It's a dangerous thing to pray for something and not believe that God can do the thing that you're asking for. Zechariah was a priest. He was righteous in God's eye. He lived holy before the Lord. He was a man of prayer. But when the word of the Lord came to him, he didn't believe. Can I tell you, coming to church doesn't make you a believer. Singing on the praise team doesn't make you a believer. You can be an ordained seminary graduate preacher, but that don't make you a believer. Being an usher doesn't make you a believer. Serving in the house of God doesn't make you a believer. What makes you a believer is when you live expecting God to keep his word. When you live with expectation. Yeah. When you are believers, expect, hallelujah, that everything that God said is coming to pass, no matter how long it takes, no matter how difficult it is. Believers live with expectation. Lord have mercy. And we expect that some way, somehow, at some time, Gabriel said, it will come to pass at the proper time. Hallelujah. Believers are convinced that God has a proper time for everything he allows in our life. And at the right time, whatever promise he has made, we expect it will come to pass. Listen, I consider myself a man of prayer, but there is no point of me praying if I don't believe God's going to do what I'm praying for. Can I share this with you? Some people believe more in the ritual of prayer than in the God they pray to. Some people are committed to praying 2-3 times a day, but they don't expect God to do anything. Listen, there is no power in you praying unless you believe that God's going to do what you're asking him for. Come on, somebody. You don't get credit because you show up to pray and you pray for an hour and leave here not believing that God's going to do anything. You might as well stay at home and watch TV. No, don't be so committed to the ritual. You don't get credit for the ritual. Faith pleases God, not your ritual. This man served in the house of the Lord, offered sacrifice, and God sent a word directly to him that was a response to what he had been praying for. And when he said it, he didn't believe it. No, ma'am. No, sir. No. You've got to expect God to do what you're praying and asking him for. Don't live with the handicap of unbelief. Do you know there are some things that are not going to happen, not because God's not able or willing, but they're not going to happen because you don't believe. Okay, so we want to blame God. Say, God, you're not fair. How come you're not blessing me? How come you're not moving on my behalf? And he's saying, it's not fair. I died on the cross for your sins. I've been for you all your life. I've been protecting you. Now this one time you got the nerve to tell me I'm not fair. What's not fair is as good as I've been to you, you still don't believe. That's not fair. I've never lied to you, and you ready to quit me. Your boyfriend lied every other week, and you still with him. I'm trying to help somebody. Your job lies to you and you still show up. There are hypocrites at your job every day and you still show up, man. Some of us got hypocrites in the house and we live in the house, but we won't come to the house of God because it's, okay. Let's, I don't feel like doing all this today. That's not my objective. Fast forward to verse 39. When we get to verse 39, Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant, and Mary just found out that she is pregnant. And the interesting is that the angel of the Lord came to Elizabeth, told Elizabeth about Mary, and came to Mary and told Mary about Elizabeth. So Mary said, I've got to go visit Elizabeth. Now, these two women are connected in several ways before we read verse 39. First of all, Elizabeth is carrying a miracle, and Mary is carrying a miracle worker. So there's miracles connecting them together. The second thing that connects them is that they both were told what to name their child. Now, that's significant because one of the joys of having children is going through the process of naming them. Do we name them after somebody in the family? Do we name them after their father? Do we name them after some celebrity? Or do we just make up a name? You know, we go through all that process of what to name the child, because names have significance. What if you went to the hospital, gave birth to a child, and the doctor said, you don't get to name your child. I'm going to name your child. Lord have mercy. These children, from the very beginning, John and Jesus. Elizabeth was told, name your son John. Mary was told, name your son Jesus. From the very beginning, it was clear that these children don't belong to these mothers. They belong to God. You don't get to name my child. I have a plan for these children. So God says, you shall name your child John. Mary, you name your child Jesus. One more thing. Elizabeth's child was to prepare the way for Mary's child. Bible says of John that there's one in the wilderness saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. John was born. And then about 3 months later, Jesus was born. Things happen when they're supposed to happen. John had to come before Jesus because John's assignment was to prepare people for Jesus. Oh, have mercy. See, God is setting up the stage. Can I tell you that things happen when they're supposed to happen? When you rush stuff, it gets out of order. And you don't know what the plan is. So I encourage you, don't be discouraged because it hasn't happened by the time you think that it should happen. Hallelujah. Everything happens in divine order. And these two women's destiny was connected forever. And neither one of them chose it. They both were chosen by God. Luke. Verse 39, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a whole nother sermon right there. I got to come back to that next week, maybe. Verse 42 says, Elizabeth gave a glad cry. Anybody had a glad cry lately? Yeah, I had one the other day. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, when I heard your voice, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. I heard your voice. My baby jumped for joy. So she says, why am I so favored? Why am I so honored that the mother of our Lord will come and visit me? Mary spent about 3 months with Elizabeth. I'm sure they had a whole lot to talk about. But Mary responds to Elizabeth, and I'll close at this point, says, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Mary, what have I done that the mother of our Lord will come and visit me? Why do I have this special visitation from the Lord? I'm already pregnant. I already got what I prayed for. This is something extra. I would have been satisfied just giving birth to John. But no, I have received a special visitation with the Lord. So much so that my baby leaped and jumped when it recognized that it was in the presence of Jesus. Oh, something happens when you realize that you're in the presence of Jesus. Listen, what I want more is the presence of the Lord. If he doesn't answer any of the prayer that I pray, what makes me blessed is that every now and then I get a special visitation. Yeah, baby or not, we need a special visitation from the Lord. Mary says, you're blessed because you believe. Elizabeth was blessed because she didn't allow her age. She didn't allow the fact that she's never had a child. She didn't even allow her husband's unbelief to cause her to doubt the promise of God. God told her she's going to have a son. She believed it. And God did it. And she was blessed because she believed. Now, this leads us to our last spiritual principle for today. And I have to be honest that this one caught me by surprise, but I experienced it in my own life. Here is the last principle. It is important that you are connected to someone who believes, so that you can be blessed even during your time of unbelief. Now, just meditate on that. I'm going to present my case. Just give me 15 seconds. It is important that you are connected to someone who believes so that you can be blessed during your times of unbelief, because all of us go through times of unbelief. All of us have hit something in our life at one point or another and say, well, God, I am too old for this to work. Or God is too far gone for this to work. God, I'm already in foreclosure. I already got fired. Already, I mean, I asked you to stop the foreclosure. I asked you to keep me from getting laid off. It's too late for you to come now. Come on. So during those times, it's good to be connected to somebody who believes. And help me, I'm going to make my point here. Zechariah didn't believe that he would have a son and became handicapped. Elizabeth believed that she would have a son, and she was blessed. But when Elizabeth had her son, Zechariah had his son too. Think about it. Elizabeth didn't have that baby by herself. Elizabeth's son, John, had a father by the name Zechariah. Hear what I'm saying? Let me present it again. Zechariah was married to somebody who believed. When God blessed his wife, he got blessed too. Elizabeth didn't say, no, nope, you can't claim this boy because you didn't believe. It's my baby. I'm going to court. You ain't getting no rights to this son. No, you didn't believe. You and your unbelief going down the street. This is my blessing from the Lord. No, sir, and no, ma'am. He didn't believe. But when God blessed the one who did believe, he was blessed also. It's called grace and favor. It's called mercy. Come on, somebody. I know for sure that some of the blessings that I have today is not because I believe, but it's because Dana believed. When the parents are blessed, the children are automatically blessed. Listen, look at all the young people clapping their hands. A child can be lazy, unproductive, ungrateful, unappreciative, have a nasty attitude. But if the parents, y'all parents look at me, don't look, just stay focused. But when the parent gets blessed, the whole house gets blessed. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah to God. Everything that you are connected to gets blessed. That's why it is important that you have friends that will believe even when you don't. It is important that you are connected to a body of believers that will believe even when you don't. Because when one of us gets blessed, all of us gets blessed. Yeah, yeah. When God blesses you, everybody connected to you gets blessed. And it's good to be a part of a group of people who believe God in spite of how things look. Because when one is weak, the other one is strong. And we complement each other so nobody gets left behind. Because if you don't have enough faith, I'm going to use my faith and pull you through it. I'm going to stick right with you until you come on the other side. Even if I have to tell you, keep your mouth shut until God does it. Don't talk doubt around me. Don't talk fear around me. Don't talk death around me. You can be around me, but shut your mouth. Come on, somebody need to make some of these people around you talking doubt, need to make them unable to speak. I don't know how you do that, but Not only that, you got to quiet your own soul. Don't give your own spirit permission to speak doubt to you. If you've heard a word from the Lord, don't you stay up all night tossing and turning, having conversations with yourself about doubt. No, you need to handicap your own mouth when it is doubtful. Listen, you got to get to the place where you, if you're holding on to a promise from God, people are not permitted to speak doubt around you. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Stop entertaining all of these negative conversations about what God has promised you. I don't care if you are a priest, a servant, holy and righteous. You are not permitted to speak doubt around me, especially when I'm in need of a miracle. Come on, somebody. Stop giving people permission to speak doubt around you. Last point here. True belief in God doesn't require you to see it in order to believe it. True belief doesn't require for you to see it in order for you to believe it. Why? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to go before the Lord in prayer. I want to encourage you today. Christmas is Tuesday, and many people will be celebrating. I plan on celebrating myself. But here is what I realize, though. Christmas doesn't remove the darkness that people experience in the world. Evil doesn't take Christmas off. People who are mean are going to be mean on Christmas. People who are ungrateful are going to be ungrateful on Christmas. People who are dealing with grief, grief doesn't take Christmas off. Sickness doesn't take Christmas off. You can't go to the hospital and the doctor say, all right, all sick folk, y'all get to go home today, it's Christmas. Come back tomorrow, you'll be sick tomorrow. No, doesn't work that way. So you may be expecting something to be different on Tuesday just because it's Christmas. And then you will find yourself disappointed because you will find that same drama you were dealing with Christmas Eve gets up with you on Christmas morning. It is in those moments that you have got to choose to believe God no matter what you see. Oh yeah. It is in those moments that you've got to say, I still believe that God's going to keep his promise. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow, might not be this year, but God is still able and he will keep his promise. Can I say this to you? Somebody may have started off this year expecting God to do something, and here it is. What Sunday is this? Third? Fourth? Fourth Sunday in January, December. Thank you. And it hasn't happened yet. Two things to tell you. Number one, it's not too late. God can do more in one day than we can do in a whole month. God can turn that thing around today. Number two, even if you wake up on January the 1st, 2019, and it hasn't happened, you've got to believe that it will in spite of it. Yeah, I'm helping somebody. When you choose to believe, you choose joy. When you choose to believe, you receive peace. When you choose to believe, you receive the hope of the Lord. And the Bible says that our hope will not disappoint. Can I tell you, God will not disappoint you. I believe still, in spite of all that I've been through this year, that better days are coming. I still believe it. I still believe that God is my healer. I still believe that God is my keeper. I still believe those things that I have put. Anybody got some things on the altar and you know can nobody do this but the Lord? Like no doctor can do it. No accountant can do it. Nobody can do it. Anybody, raise your hand one more time if you got something that you know nobody can do this but the Lord. Can I give you some good news today? He's able and he will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Still able. Still able. Lord, we believe your word today. Lord, we believe that no matter how long it has been or how difficult it has become, God, we believe, we still believe that you are able. Hallelujah. God, we remember when you sent us the word from your very presence. We're holding on to your word because you are faithful and true. God, I pray that you would help us today, that we not be people who pray but don't believe, who serve but don't believe. We don't want to be people who sing and worship but don't believe. I don't want to preach and don't believe. I don't want to teach and don't believe. God, help us to be believers first. Hallelujah, that we believe your promise. Hallelujah. Because we've seen time and time again that you are more than able to perform your word. You are a promise keeper. Would you grab your neighbor by the hand? God, I pray now for my neighbor. I pray that whatever they are seeking you for today, whatever they are believing you for today, I pray that you would assure them that you are still able to do it. And I pray, God, that because they are holding my hand, that because they are connected to me, that even if they are in a season of doubt, when you bless me, you will bless them. Hallelujah. That when you increase me, you will increase them. Hallelujah. God, give us a sensitivity to know when our brothers and our sisters are struggling in their faith, and give us the power to stand with them and say, I believe my sister. I believe my brother. Don't give up. Hold on. God is faithful. He's going to do it. It won't be long now, God. Use our mouths to be instruments of faith and peace, God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray right now that you will cause the spirit of doubt to be unable to speak in our life. In the name of Jesus, I pray now that that voice that speaks doubt, that his tongue will be glued to the roof of his mouth, and he will not be able to speak doubt in our hearts and our minds anymore. Handicap the doubt in the name of Jesus. Raise our expectations that we live without limitation, daily expecting you to keep your word. It is so. It is so. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you clap your hands and worship the Lord?